as I'm going to that goal, that purpose, God, through the valleys and the peaks, is working on me, taking off that which is forward, adding into me more which is the Lord. So the more I'm on this road, I'm being conformed into the image of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue a message from Hebrews chapter 12. It's called Preparation for Your Destination. And you know, once we become believers in Jesus, once we have that personal relationship with Him, well, the gospel then sets about transforming our lives. A lot of people may think of the gospel as something that allows their sins to be forgiven and they're declared right with God, and that is true. And it's the thing that at the end of life gets them into heaven, and that is true. But what about the here and the now? You know, when you know Christ is your Savior and you begin to live the life that He's called you to, that is a work of transformation. As Pastor Ford was just alluding to, as we pursue that relationship with Christ, as we walk in obedience with Him, He begins to chip away at those areas of sin in our lives. He begins to chip away at what some people may call character flaws, and He begins this work of transformation in us, making us more like the person of Jesus. But it's not always easy to walk that path and to walk it faithfully, so we're taking a look at how do we do just that from, again, Hebrews chapter 12. So if you can, grab a Bible and join us there as we continue the message, Preparation for Your Destination. Here is Pastor Ford.
Come on, say it with me. Expectation should determine preparation. That's right. See, a lot of folk don't get what they want or what they expect because they haven't properly prepared for it. So you want a PhD salary, but you only have a GED education. You haven't properly prepared for it. Show me your preparation, and I'll tell you what should be your expectation. A whole lot of us want a summer wife, but we bring home winter weather. It ain't gonna happen. Show me your preparation, and I'll tell you what your expectation should be. You want a spiritual husband, but to you, submission is a four-letter word. Show me your preparation, and I'll tell you what should be your expectation. I run into people all the time who want to be Bible scholars, but they don't want to read the Bible, you know? And they're not even getting a verse a day to keep the devil away, you know? They want to do great things for God, but they don't want to suffer for God. You know, all through the Bible, we see it in the New Testament, no cross, no crown. And sometimes we don't understand when you want to go to a higher level, not only are you going to have new devils, you're going to have stronger devils. And so expectation should determine what your preparation is. Somebody who tells me they want a job but never fill out an application, you know, show me your preparation and I'll tell you what should be your expectation. I ain't going to ask you how many of us want to lose weight, but if you're still buying a quart of Haagen-Dazs and eating the whole thing with a whole pack of chocolate chip cookies, just forget all about it. And so I do it too. I did it all the time. I go to a Captain Hook's and I order an 8-piece wing dinner with extra fries and a Diet Coke. Amen. And so that's what this text is really all about. He wants us to understand God is taking us somewhere and we're partners with Him in the journey. And He just finished an exposition letting us know that Jesus is better. And now He wants us to get on the road, the hados. Jesus said, I am the way. The Greek word way is hados. It means road. And so He doesn't show us the road. He is the road. Amen. Well, I didn't say it. He said it. He said, I am the hados. And so we want to have God's destination for all of our lives. Now, what is God's ultimate destination for every believer here? How many know that? Because I thought I was in Christ Bible Church, where Bible is our middle name, you know? And so there it is. What is His goal? His goal is right there. Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many. What's his goal? Okay, why am I on this road? I'm on the road, and this is the road that God has for me. And so as I'm going along the road, there are peaks and valleys. There are mountaintops and valleys. There are ups and downs. But what's happening to me as I'm heading toward his goal, ultimately, what is he doing? As I'm going to that goal, that purpose, whatever that is, God, through the valleys and the peaks, is working on me, taking off that which is forward, adding into me more, which is the Lord. So the more I'm on this road and following this path and this plan, I'm being conformed into the image of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I walk like him and talk like him and I love like him and work like him and serve like him and listen like him and all of those other things. You with me here? That's what's going on. And so what then is that ultimate purpose? Colossians 1:28, whom we preach. Who? Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. So as I'm being conformed to his image, I'm being perfected into God's purpose and plan for my life. So we talked about it. We said there were 8 preparations. I don't know how many of these we're going to do because I'm ready to move on. I know you are too. But we saw the first duty was to change what's wrong. And we said that governs the self, where we begin to look in, introspection, evaluation. And then we looked at chart your course. That has to do with your success, where you look ahead. This is where God is taking me, and God is taking us somewhere. Then choose right relationships. It has to do with saints and sinners, where you look around and you maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now we're going to look at, maybe this might be the last one, cherish the things of God. That's what he's going to tell us in verses 15 through 17. Cherish the things of God. Now, by way of implication, here's what he's saying. When you go back to the ritual, and you're abandoning the reality of Jesus Christ, you are calling common what God has blessed. You're disregarding Jesus Christ. You're taking advantage of what God has provided. And so the development is the supply of God. And the direction is you look back. You begin to look back and see what God has done. Now, let me read these verses. Looking diligently, lest any man fail. Oh, I'll just read it all. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Wow. He's saying, listen, the focus of what's going on is taking God for granted. Now, many of us don't think we fit in that category, I'm sure. But remember, in 1 Corinthians 10, turn there. I want to show you real quick what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 when he was telling them the same thing. In 1 Corinthians 10, he was telling them, let me read it. He says, moreover, brethren, I would not you should be ignorant, which meant they were all ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all did eat the same spiritual meat and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So notice what he says here. He's saying that the children of Israel, they serve as an example for you and I, just like Esau does in this passage, that you don't take the things of God for granted.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Preparation for Your Destination. And we're going to get back to this teaching from Hebrews 12 in just a moment. You know, Pastor Ford has written a number of books, many of them about marriage and relationships, other topics as well. And you can find out what those are when you come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You'll see a link on the left side of the homepage that says Books by Pastor Ford. You can click on that and see the different titles available as a paperback or in an ebook format. Again, our website is treasuredtruthradio.org, and click on the link that says Books by Pastor Ford. Well, if you're just joining us, we're in Hebrews 12. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Ford.
Now, what things of God did they take for granted? I got to drop them. I can't push them. Notice what it says. He says that they were all under the cloud. What was the cloud? What did the cloud do? Guidance. Okay, and so they were piloted through the wilderness. Every time the cloud moved, they moved just like that. And so God said, my Shekinah glory. You didn't have just lottie-dottie anybody. You had the Shekinah glory cloud leading you. Then he says, so my piloting, my guidance, direction, you took it for granted. He says, and they were all passed through the sea. What is that? God's protection. So you had God guiding, you had God protecting, and you took it for granted. Then he says, we're all baptized under Moses. What's that? Pastoral leadership. The word baptizo is transliterated, not translated. You know that, transliterated from the translitere. The spelling is brought over, not the meaning. What's the meaning? To be identified with. Matthew 28, 18 and 20. Go ye therefore in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Does it mean immersing them in water in the threefold designation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Not really. The primary meaning is this, to identify. So he says then, I want you to identify them as Trinitarians. That's what he's saying. And so they were identified under Moses' leadership, and they took it for granted. Then the spiritual meat and the spiritual drink, that's the provision. So here we find then they did not cherish the things of God. They took the things of God for granted. And he gives Esau as our example. Now, let me tell you the story real quick. I know you know it. You go back to the Old Testament. This story is at least 2,700 years old, which shows us the relevancy of the Word of God. I say it all the time, but I make no bones about it. Thank God that the Word of God has no expiration date. What was good for them back then is good for us right now. And so he's saying, what's he saying? When he goes back 2,700 years, what's he trying to get us to see? People are people. It doesn't matter what generation, everybody is the same. Got the same issues, the same problems. I tell people when they get mad at me and leave and go to another church, I wonder how long it's going to be before you run into another me. Just doesn't have my name. Just doesn't have my face, but got my issues. I know somebody. She said I could use her name, but I won't do it. And I hadn't seen her in a while, and I said, wow, it's been a long time. How you been? She said, since I left here, I've been to 8 different churches. Really? Yeah. And still looking. I said, well, I'll be praying for you. Amen. That's what I said on the outside, Ronnie. On the inside, I said, serve you right. Yeah, say, hey, man. Yeah, that's it. What happened? You know what happened. Esau, he's a hunter. He goes out and he's hunting. And he comes back in. He's hungry. And Jacob's a mama's boy. And he done cooked up some good stew. And Esau says, man, I'm hungry, man. I'm famished. And Jacob says, you that hungry? Then sell me your birthright. And Esau said, well, you know what? It ain't going to do me any good because I may die. Now remember I said that. He said, it ain't going to do me any good because I may die. Give me some of that chunky Campbell chicken noodle soup. And he did and sold his birthright. Now listen to what this text calls him. Calls him a fornicator. Calls him an idolater. Calls him a profane person. Wait a minute. What does any of this stuff mean? In other words, you begin to look at it. If you're a profane person, it means you trampled on something holy. If you are a fornicator, we know what that means. We don't need nobody to tell us what that means. Anyway. And so what's going on here? And so he's not a physical fornicator. He's a spiritual fornicator. He isn't immoral, yet he's worldly. Okay, let me cut to the chase, because I need to let you know what's going on with this man. When you begin to look at him and see something, I want you to note something. And so I forgot to say this, but let me say it, that all Scripture is not written to us, but all Scripture is written for us. Everybody knows that, right? Okay. And so what happens here? Esau is used as the writer of the book of Hebrews as an example. Note, there is no overt sin mentioned. Wait a minute, where's the sin in getting a bowl of soup and exchanging my birthright? See, that's all I need you to see tonight. It wasn't deep, y'all. It wasn't what we would call sin. Yet God calls him a fornicator, profane, and immoral. Why? Here's why. If you don't get anything else, get this. All he did was exchange the ultimate for the immediate. That's all he did. In other words, all he said was, you know what? The game's on tonight. I'm not going to church. I'm in college now. I'll get back in church after college. I got all these bills. I got to take off from church for a while. I got to take that Sunday work. All he did was exchange the ultimate for the immediate. So Esau was moral, yet worldly. Yeah, and so what's going on? This is the whole idea that we have to be careful. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to be like saltwater fish. Anybody like saltwater fish? Anybody? Anybody like mahi-mahi, anything like that? Yeah, saltwater fish. They're in salt water. Yet, when you fillet them and fry them, they don't taste salty. They're in the water, but not of the water. That's what God wants us to be. In the world, but not of the world. And too many of us have succumbed to the frog in the water. You know what the frog in the water is? You put him in hot water, what will he do? Jump out. He'll try anyway. But if you put him in cool water and then turn up the heat gradually, what do you end up with? Frog legs. That's right. Frog legs. Why? Because his internal mechanism created by God allows him to adjust. And that's what's happening to us people. We're being lured by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's gradually, it's incrementally. I say it all the time. Look at the occult right now, how open it is. But it wasn't always like that. Look at witchcraft and all of that. It wasn't always like this. It started off with, who remembers? With Wendy the Good Little Witch and Casper the Friendly Ghost. It started with Bewitched and shows like that. And then all of a sudden now, look what happened. You know, Modern Family. I don't watch it, but I do see and read and hear. And who's the heroes? The gay guys. They're always the heroes. They're the most sensitive, the most loving, the most caring. Who's the worst? The traditional family, marriage, husband and wife. So that now, you won't believe this. Millennials who say they know Jesus, 67% say they see nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. 67%. So what has happened? Let me give it to you real quick. Here's what the Bible says. First, the world wants to spot Christians. Just a stain. That's all. And so James says, pure religion, undefiled before God is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it doesn't take a whole lot. But first the world wants to spot Christians. Then the world wants to conform Christians. What does it mean to conform? What is the shape of the water? What is the shape of this water? The shape of the bottle. So let's say the bottle is the world. This is what the world wants us to do, to look like the world, to act like the world. It conforms us. And it literally, conform literally means this, to take on a shape that's not yours. And so we're to be conformed to the image of Christ, but the world wants to conform us so that we act like the world and think like the world, and a whole lot of us do. So then what happens next? Next, the world wants us to become a friend. You with me? James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. He calls Esau a fornicator. He calls these believers adulterers and adulteresses. Why? Because they're married to Jesus Christ, but they're in bed with the world. And so a friend of the world. What does it mean to be a friend of the world? To like the things the world likes and to promote the things that the world promotes. That's it. Then we begin to love the world. You with me? 1 John 2:15-16. Love not the world, nor the things in the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these things are not of God. And so then it's in the middle voice. What does that mean, middle voice? Middle voice in Greek means to stop an action already in progress. So here's what he's saying. Stop loving the world. I start to say stop in the name of love, but stop loving the world. Finally, 1 Corinthians 11:32 says, we are condemned with the world. And so Paul talks about the sin unto death and the degrees of the sin unto death. He said, first we get weak, then we get sick, then we sleep. So first step in the sin unto death that only a believer can commit. It's when a believer sends away their day of grace and God takes them home early. Because they've been so worldly, they were no heavenly good. And I already told you my take on that. People say, you so heavenly minded, you no earthly good. There's no way you could be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You could be so earthly minded, you're no heavenly good, but you can't be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Let me tell you why. Because you got your head in the cloud and your feet on the ground. And if you got your head in the cloud, you're taking directions from he who sits on the throne and the ones that's on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us according to the will of God, Hebrews 7:25. I need my head in the clouds. Why? Because that's where my direction and orders come from.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Preparation for Your Destination. And we're going to continue this teaching next time. Hope you make it a point to tune in. You know, if you can't be by your radio, you don't have to miss Pastor Ford's teaching. We want to make this available as many ways as possible. So, of course, you can be listening to the radio, but you can also listen by coming to the Treasure Truth website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also sign up to be in podcasting the program so you won't miss a future broadcast. And if you don't have it already, you can get the Moody Radio app. And that's a great way to be able to listen on the go whenever it fits your schedule. Not only can you listen to Treasure Truth, but you can listen to other programs produced by Moody Radio and internet music stations. So if you don't have the app, you can go to your favorite app store, like the iOS App Store or Google Play, and search for Moody Radio. Or you can simply come to our website. We'll link you to it. Come to treasuredtruthradio.org. And whether you listen to Treasure Truth and Pastor Ford on the app, through podcasting the program, online, or through the radio, it's all made possible because of your generosity. So thank you to those who are giving and supporting the ministry. If we've not heard from you before and you'd like to give a gift today, come to the website. It's quick and easy to support Treasure Truth. Our website again is treasuredtruthradio.org. Click on the link that says make a donation. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.